In addition to taking care of one another inside the church, what if we developed a lifestyle of taking care of the most needy outside the walls of the church? How would that change the community and our city? Bob Moffitt, president and founder of Harvest Foundation in Phoenix, along with Pastor Julian Gibb, talk with pastors and leaders about how sacrificial love by those in the church to those in need outside the church has helped people see and embrace Jesus Christ. It's that demonstration of Jesus' greatest commandment that we'll hear more about today on The Kingdom and Its Stories.
Welcome, everybody. We're delighted to have you with us for this broadcast. And we have a great interviewee, a guest with us today. And Amy, we're delighted to have you with us. And just to sort of set the stage for those who are listening and are watching, we want to tell you or remind you that the whole purpose of this podcast is to inspire us to, by listening to the stories of others about how the Lord might use us, how he might use our hands and feet to be Jesus' hands and feet in the community where he's placed us to live, and wherever that might be. It doesn't matter whether we're a stay-at-home mom or we're an executive in a company or we're a blue-collar. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are. But God wants us wherever we are.
Amen.
To be his representative. So, Amy, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So give us the elevator speech. Who is Amy Perrone? And, so we have an idea of who we're listening to. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I'm just excited to share every time I get the opportunity to talk about what's going on in my little slice of the world. It reminds me of God's goodness and his faithfulness. So my name's Amy Perrone, and I direct Eden Tea and Coffee House, which is a coffee house within the Campus Christian Center. And
It's called
Campus Christian Centers, aka C3, and it's right by Arizona State University.
Okay, all right.
Huge, huge, massive university here in Arizona. And it's just a beautiful place. It's kind of a shared center for all kinds of different ASU campus Christian clubs to meet and gather for Bible studies or worship nights or large groups. And it's just, it's really a beautiful place. So a little bit about my backstory of how I got to where we're at now.
Okay.
Raised in a Christian home, born into a very loving family who always had a heart for specifically young people. And I always remember my parents talking about, you know, being on the campus in some capacity, meaning a college campus. And our doors were open. People could drop in for dinner and we'd stand around the piano and sing to the Lord. And I just remember having such a impression of God's love from a young age. And from a young age, asked Jesus, come live in my heart. And that was real for me. And I experienced and I tasted and saw the goodness of God as a youngster, as they would say. So as every kind of person who's sort of raised in the church, you do kind of get to a point where you have to be certain that your faith is your own. And that happened for me in my college years.
Mm.
I started at a community college, and I was in all these mathematics courses and physics classes and kind of a class on ancient civilizations. And I kind of came to a crisis because I was encountering all these questions like, you know, how old is the age of the earth? Are there stories about sort of these things that we hear in the Bible that predated the Bible? And I was just caught up in my mind with all of these things that seemed like they were going to undermine what I believed from a logical standpoint. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, that just sent me for a trip.
You too. And how many thousands of other young people?
Oh my gosh, I know. I'm sure just countless.
Yeah.
ridiculous. And so I got to a point where I was just really, really wrestling. But during that time, I was also so miserable. And I think only by God's mercy, somewhere in the core of my being, I knew that some of these things that I was wrestling with weren't the essential question. And the essential question that I had to wrestle with was, who is Jesus Christ? And what am I doing with him in my life?
Hmm.
And so I kind of got to that point just through a series of events and had this kind of remarkable prayer encounter with God that I'll never forget, where I kind of just relinquished. I was like, okay, yes, I realize that you're kind of asking me for my whole heart. I'm not sure I want to give that. So I've had this whole charade of other things, you know, that I'm reasoning with in my mind. But in my heart of hearts, I came to this, okay, God, Jesus, I know you are real. I know you have been present in my heart and in my life, and I can't deny you. And so, you know, there's all these other things you can explore from a scientific, logical standpoint. And, you know, I still think about those things, but not in a way that shakes the core of my belief. Anyways, that was a really transformative time, and it was for me in college. And then I went off to work for a couple of years, and I came back for round two, back to Arizona State University for an MBA in the business school. And during that time, I joined ASU's gospel choir, which was 120 students, community members, believers, non-believers, and we would sing every Tuesday and Thursday worship to God. And my mom started coming to these rehearsals, and she was like, oh my goodness, these young people, like some of them don't even know what they're saying, but yet they're being touched by the Spirit. And anyway, so she ended up opening our home to invite people over at the end of the semester from this gospel choir. And I just started to see how the Lord could work through the body, through music, through, you know, opening a home and just setting an atmosphere where God's love could flow. And I saw the impact. And so I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool if something like that could be, you know, right by a campus? I graduated from my MBA. I went off to corporate America. I got a somewhat high profile job without knowing it at American Express, and lasted 2 years there. And I was just miserable. I was so stressed, unfulfilled.
Even with all of your training and preparation, that didn't fit for some reason.
It didn't fit. You know, I remember when I first joined the company, people would ask me, what do you do for work? And I'd say, oh, I work for American Express. And there was just this part of my being that felt like I was lying to them. It was so strange because it just didn't match me at my core. And I think who God created me to be. And sure, I could use my mathematical and my Excel skills and whatnot, and that's fun, but it didn't hit the mark. And so about 2 years into it, I just started to wonder, could there be something more meaningful that the Lord has for me? And when I was a student at ASU, I got to learn of this Campus Christian Center, and I was somewhat involved with a group that met here on Wednesday nights. And so here I am in corporate, unfulfilled. I'd actually just gotten a promotion and a new role. And I was just like, this is not it. And so I had a conversation with my mom and with my grandma. And I was just like, I just have this stir inside. And I've had this long time dream, like a decade old dream, kind of in the back of my mind, to have a coffee shop. And I wanted it to be by a university.
A mathematics and physics major.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Go on. That's a great story.
And it always just felt like a pipe dream, you know, like, oh, it would be fun, but you know, that's never going to happen for you. You have to do the stable thing and whatnot. So I just began to vocalize that again. I was like, what if, could that be something that God is in, to have this coffee shop by a university with the heart of creating a space for students who may be going through things like I went through as a college kid, to find people who can point them to the truth, point them to Christ. And so anyways, I had this conversation with my grandmother couple years ago by now, and she encouraged me. She said, you should go talk to those people who run that Campus Christian Center, because they're connected with Tempe and Christians and the university. It could just be a good springboard for you. And so on a whim, I went down to the Campus Christian Center, and I had a conversation with the directors of the center who I had known previously. And I said, you know, I have this vision for a coffee shop really with the heart of serving students and bringing the love of God to them. And I always imagined this being by university, dot, dot, dot. And I kind of gave my spiel.
Right.
And they're looking at each other as I'm speaking. And when I finished, they said, you're the answer to our prayers. And they said, wow. Take two steps to your left. And they pushed me into the room, which is now the coffee house kitchen. And I was blown away. I had no idea that they had desired the same thing that I was describing in their facility for many, 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 many years. And we talked for a couple of hours that day. And, it's interesting, the intro to this podcast got me thinking, because my first reaction was, I don't want to be inside a Christian center because I want people who wouldn't come to church to come here. Mm-hmm. And I was concerned that the umbrella of a Christian center would be a deterrent, but I can tell you it has not been.
How about that?
How about that?
Yeah.
So anyways, long story short, I jumped ship, as they say, from American Express within a few days of this encounter with the directors of C3.
And you just had a promotion.
I had just gotten a promotion.
Right. Yes. Okay.
But it was one of those things where the peace of God and the clarity of God was so profound that it made the jump and the leap feel not scary at all. Because I've seen in my life, if God starts something and he calls you to something, he will back you up. And right. I just have countless stories of how that manifested in this journey of opening the coffee house. And we've been open for just over a year now. We opened February of 2022, 23.
Yeah.
We're 24 now. Yeah. And here we are, just many glorious experiences so far.
Okay, well, I want to ask you some questions of, now that you've been open for a year.
Yeah.
What are some of the indications that you've seen that God really was in this? But before we do that, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to a podcast called The Kingdom and Its Stories. And Amy Peroni has one of those stories, and she's sharing it with us today. And as you listen, be asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what can you teach me from Amy's experience? So, Amy, tell us some stories that help you to understand that this was the right move, that God was really in it.
You know, I think the stories kind of start before the coffee house even opened. Just incredible provision, both from a financial standpoint, from a people standpoint. And there's one particular story that just reminds me of God's kindness. So we had to do renovation here at C3 to open the coffee house. We had to build the kitchen, and that was going to take some construction knowledge.
Right.
And we had my family has a good friend who was a general contractor who's here in the Phoenix Valley. And he was ready to be alongside and help me kind of in this build process. And it took a very long time for us to get all the permits that we needed to do the build. And so actually, by the time we got those, he had relocated to another state and wasn't able to be involved in the same capacity that we had planned. And so I was kind of like, oh, man, what are we going to do? You know, I'm not a general contractor. Do we need to hire someone, whatnot? So we embarked on the journey, and there is a company here, an electrical company, who got involved and said, we're going to do the whole electrical job for you for free. We'll have you pay for the parts and we'll do the labor. And I was like, wow, that's an incredible blessing. But the foreman of that electrical company is extremely talented as a construction person beyond his electrical skills.
Right.
And recognized that I needed help and ended up sticking with me for the entire duration of project. And I honestly saw that as God's kindness and said, you know what you thought was going to be your route to bring this to life didn't pan out in your way, but here I provide. And I actually got to share the gospel with that individual along the way. And it was just a beautiful friendship that formed. So anyways, that was a confirmation to me of God's provision and kindness. Okay. But now that we've been open, I think there's been this kind of general sentiment that Eden at C3 has become sort of home away from home. And there's a lot of music students, because we're right across the street from the School of Music, who come through, who I've gotten and my fellow coworkers have gotten to know. And at the end of last semester, we hosted at C3 and Eden kind of jointly this open till midnight, come study, come hang out, have a free meal provided by, you know, volunteers in the community and just get your work done. So at the end of that week, I just got this little note from one of these music students. And I actually just want to read a little bit of it because it captures what I feel like this place is. But she said, "Dear Amy, I first remember hearing about Eden as the new coffee place with better vibes and more delicious pastries. But it's so much more than that. Thank you for creating a space full of peace in such a stressful world. Eden has become my oasis in one of the toughest semesters I've experienced yet. Thank you for always being so kind and welcoming." And she went on to elaborate on that. But I think that sentiment, and she personally shared with me in person what she was going through in her life in this past semester, and how coming to the shop and being able to interact with us and be loved and seen was something that just sort of carried her through. And we got talking about, I mean, kind of the core of the human experience, which is, what is our identity? Because college is such a formative time, right? You're thinking about where you want to launch pad into and what your career you want it to be, et cetera. So we just got to talk about Christ. God is the core of who our identity is rooted in. I just, conversation over the counter, both of us just in tears. And that actually happens fairly often. There was another young man who's a junior, I found out, who came in with his mom the other week. And we got chatting, you know, just, what are you studying? And how's it going? How's your experience been at ASU? And it turns out he was just in this place of feeling so lost. And I got to share with him the story, my own story too, of how something centered and born from the purpose of God for your life is where you're going to not be lost. It's where you're going to find
Amen.
Amen. And so I had that conversation with him over the counter, making his coffee, and his mom was there and she's just weeping, saying like,
His mom was crying.
She was, yes, this is an ordained conversation. She said, like, by God, we needed to hear this today. But the best part of the story, I think, is I made them their coffee. They went and sat on the porch, and there was another woman who was sitting in the coffee house who I know knows Christ. She knows God. And I saw on her way out, she passed by them on the porch, and I just observed. And the next thing I know, my friend is down on her knees praying for this young man.
Oh, wow.
And I just love to see that because it's organic. It happens naturally. It happens, you know, just by people in the space being led by the Spirit to engage with people who, you know, are seeking for grounding, seeking for love.
Yeah, it just seems like what a beautiful natural opportunity for kids that need a place to study. And as I remember my years, midnight times, you know, coming to a place where there was coffee and a piece of apple pie or a hamburger.
Yep.
And so, you know, I would have my coffee and whatever else and study, but it wasn't a place like that. I can't imagine having a warm place where I knew the people who were serving were interested in me.
Right.
And that's beautiful.
You know, something as simple as knowing people's names and remembering them. We have myself and two other people who work regularly behind the counter, and we all intentionally just make an effort to know your name. And it's amazing to me how something as simple as that, when somebody comes in and you remember their name, they're like, "You remember me? You And I just think it's such a simple picture of God's love, because
yes.
how many billions of people have walked this planet, and God knows each one of our names. He knows each one of our stories and each one of our, you know, fibers and how we're created and gifted. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing.
Right. Yeah. No, that's beautiful, Amy. Thank you.
Yeah.
For sharing with that. So what would be the general implications, you know, for people who can't run a coffee shop?
Yeah. You know, I've reflected on that notion a lot through this journey for me. And if I could generalize it, I think I would say, as a believer, and even as a non-believer, you can come to know this. As a believer, we have to know God himself has a will, a perfect will. And that is something that is, you know, I love the picture in Genesis and Revelation of just like the water of life that's mm-hmm. flowing through the garden. And God has a will, a flow of life, and all of the resources needed to get from A to B, and he's flowing. And as a believer, our role is to position yourself to merge into God's will. And there's a, how do you do that? You know, for me, it was paying attention to this inner rumbling, like this, God, could you be in this? Mm. Could this be you? Is this not just me that wants this coffee shop thing to happen? Could it be you? And to open that prayerfully to him and open that to people who know Christ, who are in the body, because life flows, you know, through the members of the body of Christ. And that was an experience for me as well.
So, yeah, it just seems to me that one of the most interesting things about your testimony is that this is for me. It might be for some others too, but you're headed in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
The corporate world.
Yes.
And you obviously are gifted to be able to do that, you know, and with the skills that you studied for at the university, both at your undergraduate and your graduate level.
Yeah.
But you were sensitive to what God's Spirit might be saying to you.
Yes.
And it was in a direction that was completely different.
Totally.
Than what you were doing. And part of the thing that it seemed like you were struggling with was a lack of fit with what you were doing.
Yes.
And even though it was what you were gifted for, academically,
right,
and in terms of skills, it wasn't the thing that brought you peace.
Exactly.
And so there was a discomfort there, and you were sensitive to what God was saying through that discomfort. And then the Holy Spirit directed you to something which, you know, from a logical point of view, just sounds completely contradictory.
Right.
To what you're doing, making coffee.
Right.
You know,
I have people who they ask me, you know, what did you study? And I say, you know, what my degrees were, whatnot. And I had one particular person say something like, well, like, what are you doing here? Like, what do you want to do with that? And I can't remember how I responded, but I was like, this is it. Like, this is where I want to be.
Right.
This is where as you said, the peace, the joy, the fulfillment. I wake up every morning just grateful that I get to come here and be part of this and encounter people every day. And I just seriously thank God from the bottom of my toes. It's contradictory, as you said, maybe to what you would think. I don't have the big paycheck I used to, but you know what? It does not matter. It really doesn't.
You have the paycheck that counts.
Yes, the kingdom paycheck.
And peace.
Yes.
And joy and fulfillment.
100%.
Amy Peroni, it's been a delight to have you with us today. Thank you so much for your willingness to share. And I pray that God would continue to bless you, continue to give you that sense of His fulfillment for the purpose of your life. God bless you, Amy. And thanks a million for inspiring us.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Jesus defines discipleship as come and follow me. Next Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360, we'll hear another testimonial from a leader demonstrating how they and the people of the church are sacrificially loving the needy and beginning to see real change in their communities. If you have a personal example of how you are being the hands and feet of Jesus with your neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. Enter your story at harvestfoundation.org. That's harvestfoundation.org on the Contact Us tab. You can also subscribe to the podcast on The Kingdom and Its Stories on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.